In Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 13, very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my goods, my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The saved man or the smart man that God called a fool. If we want to know this morning what time it is by God's clock and what his program is for these frightening times in which we live, man will find out not by speaking to some so-called experts, but by reading the Word of God. You see, you can isolate a servant of God in a dungeon, give him the Bible, and give him a candle, and he can tell you what time it is and what's going on in this world. But now, some of us, and I know you hate for me to say this, but some of us are beginning to rate as old-timers. We can remember when "I am bound for the promised land" was almost a theme song for the saints of God. In the sweet by and by, and when I can read my title clear, we're cut from the same cloth, and we took seriously the scriptural admonition that this world is not our home, it's not our final resting place. But we are pilgrims and strangers, we're just passing through, but we're seeking for a city whose builder and maker is God. It was said of G. Campbell Morgan, he lived with a Bible in his right hand and his face toward a better world. Any man who believes the Bible will live that way. Say what you will. This old book, the Bible, the Word of God that's been around for a long time will give no comfort to those that want to drive their tent stakes down in this lowland or this old world. It warns against the love of money, the cares of this life, and the pride of life. It would have us not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, but lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. It reminds us that a man's life does not consist in the things which he possesses, and that we're to be content with the things that we have. It seems that the Bible is out of sync with the average American today, that they cannot seem to hear nor understand what Jesus has said. You see, most folks would not fault this rich man. They would think him to be smart, entrepreneurial, and this is what he did. He made his money in an innocent way. He earned it honestly. He didn't cheat anybody. He didn't steal. He worked hard. Number two, he was hard working, for his land brought forth plentifully. We know hard work is a virtue. You work hard, it's amazing how many good things will come your way. He also invested and he expanded. He said, I will tear down, I will build bigger barns to house all of my goods. And he made provision for the future. He said, I've got ample supply. I've got ample goods, and I can say to myself, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years, eat, drink, and be merry. But the question is, was he really smart? You see, you look at this man, and from the world's perspective, he looked like he was a smart man. But when you consider that this story was in the Word of God, and you consider that Jesus Christ was involved and judgment was involved, then maybe he wasn't quite so smart. Because it is in the Bible, it does fall from the lips of the Son of God, and judgment is there. And so I want us to look very carefully at just who Jesus called a fool. The way that a fool thinks. He always wants more. Kind of reminds me of the story of the fellow that fell off a cliff. And he grabbed hold of some bushes when he was going down, and he was hanging on, and that vine was breaking little by little, and he cried out, is anybody up there? Please help me. There was a booming voice after a while said, if you'll turn loose of the vine, I'll catch you. He hollered back up there and said, is anybody else up there? And you know, that's kind of the way it is in the Christian life. We don't always want to do what God tells us to do, and therefore we're looking for alternatives. But the Bible tells us that a fool is one who always wants more. The land of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself. He took counsel with himself and not with God. He said, this will I do. I'll tear down these meager barns and I'll build me bigger barns to house all my goods. And then I'll say, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The dominant thought of his life was for more. Jesus said, take heed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Are you always being smart when you want more? You know, we've kidded Dennis, and he had a good theme, you know, more, looking at it from the spiritual perspective. But when you look at it from the material perspective, more is not always better. You see, there are some folks who think that if I can just get more money, that's where my security is at, and I won't have to worry. But more may kill you. More, and I've seen individual families move and leave their church and church family when they were promised a few dollars more to relocate and get to that new place and drop out of church, go back into the world. More may destroy you spiritually. More may separate you from your children, may drive a wedge between you and your wife. More. The gathering of things is not always what we think it is. You know, I'm convinced God will take care of his people. I'm convinced that if we'll let him, that he'll provide for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And my wife said this morning, she'll hit me for this, but she said, why don't you ever look at me when you preach? I'm looking at you. But I suspect this man decided that he wanted a life of ease. I'm sure he thought within himself, I've worked hard for all these years, and I provided for the family. The kids are grown. It's just me and the wife. And he said, I'm looking for a little bit of ease. I want to step back and just relax for a while. He wanted ease. It looked attractive to him. But the good life had taken its toll in this man's life, and he became oblivious to the things of the Spirit. He was not concerned about spiritual things. You see, he wasn't concerned about the plight of the poor or the sick or the needy. He was not concerned about the church. He was not concerned about the Bible colleges. He was not concerned about missions. He was concerned about self. You see, he invested in his own self, not in heavenly things. But where do you see Jesus? Jesus is there with the poor and the needy. He's there building up the church. You see, Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so you see that Jesus looks at things altogether different. And brethren, when we come to the end of life journey, we'll wish that we had thought like Jesus, acted like Jesus, because we loved him with all of our heart. Well, the goal of life took its toll in his own life. But a fool tries to nail down security. Been said that when you have used your IRAs to maximum advantage, when you have come to the time when you can pull out of Social Security all that you put in it, when your paid-up insurance policy becomes an annuity, when investments are called in, here's what you're supposed to say. So, you've got much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But is that where our security comes from? Brother, I'm here to tell you that this rich man, he thought that everything was going to be all right because he had plenty. He had barns full, and he was wealthy. But then the Lord comes and says, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of you, and then who shall those things be that you provided? You see, he's an individual who thought he owned the land. You know, I hear folks say, I own this and I own that, and I've got this and I've got that, and I've got this much money in the bank account, and they're putting all their stock and emphasis in the material. But you know, you really don't own anything. God has just lent it to you for a while. And you know, when you die, you know what you're going to do with all that you've got? You're going to leave it behind. And those kids are going to go and spend it and have a good time. You know, you save, you scrimp, and do all of that. And they said, wow, this is going to be good. You know, it's got to be sobering to realize you can't take it with you. I've never seen a funeral where they had a Brinks truck following behind the hearse, taking all the money and possessions along to the graveyard. You know what you really need to do? Invest in heavenly things. You see, you're just passing through. What does the Bible say? 70 years and 10? Are your allotted days? And I'm going to tell you, some of us here have already lived beyond those allotted days. And we might be considered to be living on borrowed time. But you know, if you're a child of the King, it doesn't matter. In fact, you're going to a better place when this life is over. You know, I don't worry about death. But if I've got my choice, I'd much rather the Lord just come and rapture us out You know, I've got a headstone, got a grave site, got my name on it, got my birth date on it. It just doesn't have the day of my demise. But I'd just sooner leave that place vacant. Or I'll sell it to somebody else cheap. But you know, we're just passing through. And the most important thing of all is what we do with Jesus Christ. Souls are dying all around us and going to hell. I'm telling you, hell is real. And if you don't get saved, do it God's way, according to this book, you'll die in your sins and you'll go to hell. Now that's real. That's real. God has blessed us. We've seen folks saved. But there's a world out there that's lost that needs salvation. And it may well be that some of you here this morning need salvation. And brethren, if you need salvation, then I'm speaking to you. God says a person is foolish if they don't put Christ first in their life and get saved. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. And then who shall those things be that thou hast provided? You know, you save and you scrimp and you do everything you can. You know, it kind of reminds me, you know, when you're young, you just ain't any thought about security, old age. You kind of think, well, I'm not going to get old. But you know, time has a way of creeping up. And the first thing you know, you're older, and you did, you know, you weren't afraid to take a risk or a little gamble, you know. But you get a little older and you want to hedge your bets. You want to kind of look at things a little bit differently. And then when you get up in years older, you're just hoping that you'll have enough money to last to the end. That you'll have enough to outlive your sickness and those health issues. Well, it reminds me that a fool never thinks about eternity. Stabbing is the word that the Lord used when he said, thou fool. Here was a man that I can see him going to bed that night. His servants scurried around and they took care of all the chores, and he went into the master bedroom and he got in bed. And sometime during the night they heard a cry from the master's bedroom. Sometime during the night, they get up and they rush to the master's bedroom. They open the door and they see his chest heaving and that death gurgle, and then it settles down never to move again. He was dead. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. You know, you don't know, do you, how long you're going to live? You don't know. I don't know. But I know this, that if I put my life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and I have new life in him, I'm a child of the King, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, I don't have to worry about dying. But if you're not ready to meet the Lord, if you've not been saved and living a Christian life, you've got some concerns this morning. And you need to come to the altar this morning. And very simply, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior right now. You know, if we do that, we can leave here a child of the King. Leave here knowing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that whatever happens, it doesn't matter, because I've already put my life in the hands of him that is all-powerful, that he's omnipotent. Are you ready to meet him? This man was considered to be smart. We got a lot of folks in the world that's considered to be smart, but they're just as dumb as a gourd vine if they don't accept Christ as personal Savior. It's important when God is speaking and He's calling that we say yes. If you put it off, you can't do what you want to do. You can't accept the Lord at your timing. You'll do it at His, or you won't do it at all. Will you bow with me for prayer?